Christians, I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. As I saw Paul lower Angela's body in the ground this morning, and as we remember today, I think back to standing in intensive care in Westmead Hospital with Paul and Jen, and watching them make the first of many decisions over the last 19 months that have postponed today. And they had just told the surgeons that they wanted to go ahead with the 10-hour heart surgery the next day, and we weren't sure if she would make it through the night. And I remember saying, would you like to baptise her now? And that we baptised her that day was, we weren't sure if she'd make it till the morning, let alone next weekend, let alone home, let alone 19 months. And I have repeatedly said to Paul over the last 19 months how much I've admired the way he and Jen have made decisions for Angela and sacrificed for Angela, and how when they meet her in heaven, they will be able to say to her, we made every decision in our power for your good. And it is of that meeting in heaven that the Bible reading that we're about to read reminds us of. So we're reading John chapter 14. It's Jesus speaking, and it's the first seven verses. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him.
Well, my name is Lionel. I'm Angie's uncle, and it's so wonderful to see you all here to show your support for Angie's family. Those of us who trust in Jesus have the enormous privilege of being able to say plainly and confidently that death is wrong. Death is wrong. Death is always wrong. And this particular death is very, very wrong. Have you, like me, struggled to know what to say to Paul and Jen over the last few days? I know that they have been greatly comforted and encouraged by your words and your thoughts and your prayers. But it's so hard to really know what to say at this time, isn't it? We can't say she had a good innings, or that she died doing what she loved doing, or that she left a legacy of great and awesome deeds that inspired generations of Australians, those things don't really work, do they? Of course, we can rejoice and we can praise God for the happy memories that we have of Angela. We can praise him for the days that he ordained for her, those days we read about in Psalm 139, those days ordained for her by God, written in his book before one of them came to be. We can rejoice, in fact, that we were given more days with her than we expected. Days where she smiled that huge smile and clapped her hands. Days where it was obvious that she recognised the voices of those she loved. Where she loved life and loved her family and made tiny words and blew raspberries with all her might. We can praise God for knitting and weaving Angie together in the way that he did, making her in her own unique way and giving the time that we had with her to us. We can praise God for the joy and inspiration that she gave to family and friends. But that just makes it worse, doesn't it? Because she's no longer with us. And we know that Angie's life was lived constantly under the shadow of death. Yet this one comfort we have, which is a privilege indeed, we don't have to hide from this truth. We don't need to shield ourselves from the awfulness. We don't have to pretend it's not real. For those of us who trust in Jesus, we can turn around and stare straight at death and speak the truth that death is wrong. And we have that privilege because we know Jesus. Jesus, who is more powerful than death itself. The reading we heard just now from Dominic, from the Gospel of John, this reading is actually a soundbite from a conversation between Jesus and his followers. Other episodes in the story of Jesus tell us that Jesus knew only too well himself the pain of death. Jesus' close friend Lazarus had died just a short time before this episode, and when Jesus was confronted with the death of his friend, he had burst into angry tears. And this Jesus is the same Jesus whose overwhelming sorrow in the face of his own death was about to bring him to his knees in anguish. This same Jesus who knows the anguish of death is the very same Jesus who is now speaking in this passage, who speaks these words to those close to him. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Now, at this point in the conversation, Jesus' followers had every reason for their hearts to be troubled, because Jesus had just told them he was about to leave them. They'd all experienced the way that Jesus had burst onto the scene in first century Palestine. They'd witnessed the way that Jesus had come into their world of sorrow and pain, sickness and disease and death. Those disciples had realized that he was the hope of the world. They had seen him effortlessly heal sick and blind and lame people. They had even seen him raise the dead with a simple command. And so they'd rallied behind him and stuck with him, even when others gave up. And even more, these disciples would have known what Jesus' actions in healing disease meant. They would have known the Bible's teaching that death and sickness and disease is not just random. Indeed, it's the result of the corruption and decay of our world. A corruption and decay that has come into our world because of our sin, because we as a race corporately have ourselves turned our backs on our Creator. And these disciples would have realized that our world is desperately in need of rescue, and that the corruption and disease and death that we experience is a tragic reminder that each one of us stands under the same sentence of God's judgment for our rebellion. And they had seen Jesus' power. They had seen his power over death itself, power over the consequences of our sin, an amazing man indeed. But now, just when it was looking good, Jesus says to his disciples, I am leaving you. What, leaving us here? You haven't fixed our world, Jesus. You haven't healed everybody. Death and decay and awfulness still seem to rule us. Are you leaving us now? Of course they had a reason to be troubled. But Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus did leave them, yes, but he did not abandon them. He left to prepare a place for them. A place in a house, a place of warmth and relationship and love. A place with God the Father himself. And he went to prepare a place that death cannot touch. A place beyond the reach of death, a place beyond the reach of sickness and crying and pain. A place where the consequences of our rebellion against God cannot reach. And Angie is there with her Saviour and her God. You know the way to the place I'm going, said Jesus. Which at first sounds very strange, doesn't it? The apostle, disciple Thomas thought it was strange. He didn't know the way to this place. In fact, at this point in the conversation, Thomas didn't even know what the place was. But we have the privilege of knowing the end of the story. And so we know what Jesus meant by this place and this way. I don't know what image comes to your mind when you hear Jesus telling his disciples that he's going to prepare a place for those who trust in him. But Jesus is not referring to some kind of heavenly reality TV home renovation show. He's not saying he's going to put his overalls on and hammer in a few nails and put in a water feature for us in the clouds. No, the way Jesus prepared a place for us was by his own death. And when Jesus died, God's judgment for sin was poured out upon him. Because Jesus himself died, God can and will welcome us into his house. For there is no judgment left for those who trust in Jesus. So Jesus is the only one who has anything real to say in the face of death, because he's dealt with death. He's dealt with the cause of death and he's come out the other side victorious. He has life, he is life, and he gives life. I am the way and the truth and the life, said Jesus. I am the way to the place he is going, the place where God is. His death itself is the way, as he faced God's judgment against sin, as he himself experienced the horrible reality of death. He gave us new life forever, new life with his Father, the creator and sustainer of the universe, to know God. Not just to know about him, but to know him. And he's given that gift of new life to our Angie. I am the truth, said Jesus. Truth gives us certainty. And there was so little certainty in Angie's life, wasn't there? And how often she got sick, and we asked, well, is this it? Is this the end? And so many times she surprised us and she bravely fought and pulled through. But we always knew there would be a time when her little body just couldn't do it anymore. We had no certainty. We didn't even have proper statistics for her condition. Of course, Paul and Jen and Lydia and Angie, they did have wonderful, beautiful friends and helpers, doctors and nurses and carers and family and friends, and so many people who gave time and effort and all they could possibly bear to give. And many of you are here today. And as we've heard, they are so overwhelmingly grateful to you. But even these incredibly generous and gifted people, even they could not give them anything certain. There is only one thing that is certain. I am the life, said Jesus. all those doctors, as wonderful as they were, could not give life itself. Angie is alive with Jesus. We don't simply have a vague wish that she might rest in peace. We know she is resting. She is at peace with Jesus in his Father's house. And we also know this. We know that there will be a day when Angie's little body will again be made alive with Jesus, healed, undying, incorruptible, more alive than she's ever been. But not just Angie, of course. We know that all of us who trust in Jesus will be in this place, and we will see her because we will see Jesus. And we will walk with her as we will walk with Jesus. And we will talk with her as we talk with Jesus. And we will eat with her. We will feast with her. Real food and real drink, rich and joyful and surrounded with friendship, because we will be feasting with Jesus in the house of his Father, whom we know because we know Jesus. Angie's family are so touched by all the words of encouragement that have been flooding in. And they know how hard it is to find the words and the phrases to express your grief and your sympathy for them. You just want to shield and protect them, don't you? You want them to know how much you care. But they want you to know that after all is said and done, it is Jesus' words here that give them their final and true comfort. They do know that death is wrong. And they can face that fact because they know the one who faced death itself in all its awfulness and went through it and conquered it. And they want you to know that when we are weak and powerless and afraid, Jesus is strong. Stronger than you, stronger than I, stronger than death itself. And they want you to know that even in the face of your own death, which in the end is just as certain as Angie's death, they want you to know that Jesus himself is alive, that he is with God the Father, that he can and will give this life. Indeed, he is the only one who can give this new life to anyone. And they want you to know these words of life, and to fix your hope in the one who spoke them. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Will you bow your heads, and if you will, please pray with me. Holy God and loving Father, we give thanks for the gift of your child, Angela. In faith and trust, we leave her in your keeping, praying that in your good purpose, we may rejoice with her in your eternal kingdom. We pray for the coming of your kingdom, that in the last day, when you bring together all things in Christ, we, with all who have died in him, may enjoy the fulfillment of your promises. We pray this confidently, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.